This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Let's go!
What's up, Bingetown hoes? As you know, we are Bingetown TV, and we're back covering episodes 3 and 4 of The Haunting of Hill House. As per usual, it's Rooks and Betts and the same crew as last week. We got Paul, Luke, Jimmy, and myself. This episode, we are diving deep in the psyche of fan favorite Theo and sweet, sweet boy Luke. Rookie boys, what's the initial thoughts on the episodes?
Is that real that Theo's the fan favorite?
Oh,
I totally agree.
Pod fan favorite. No, she's definitely. She has to be.
Yeah, because I think she's my favorite character right now in the family. The Luke episode was good. Wasn't as good as the Theo episode. I really, really enjoyed Touch. Yeah, like they were definitely up and up. I can see the story coming together. I have theories starting to form a little bit. I'm ready. I'm ready to keep going.
It just keeps getting better. Every episode just gives you more information. That's just like another piece of the puzzle. And like you start getting it together, like learning all about Theo. Like now I know why last episode you said you would bang Theo, but with her gloves on. You don't want to know and everything.
I don't want her to know any of my shit.
So it's just, it's really good. And like, I just wanted to keep watching. It's incredible and fucking scary as hell.
Yeah, the third episode was definitely scary again. So far, it's been terrifying to kind of scary to scary again for Theo's episode, then kind of scary again for Luke. So it's been up and down, which I've appreciated because, you know, I've been sleeping a little better since episode one.
Yeah,
I think the Theo episode is definitely scary and the Luke one is more creepy, I would say. But of course, you know, I love it. I'm a vet here. So let's go.
I like any time the kids are incredible. So anytime they flash back to the kids is my favorite part because that's where you're going to get the real information. Like, let's get to the start of the creepiness. But yeah, you're starting to see storylines come together and converge here with all the characters. So yeah, let's jump right in.
Speaking of seeing the young kids, this episode starts off with young Theo, which I got to say that actress for how young she is is great. Mm-hmm. I thought she was awesome, but I thought she was dumb in this instance when she was like, oh, is that you, Cheryl? I'm like,
Nelly.
Or Nell.
Yeah.
Look at the hand. It was disgusting. It was like a zombie hand.
Was it?
Sleeping.
Yeah. I was like pretty far away from the TV
when
I was watching.
It's definitely a zombie hand, but her eyes are always closed the whole time.
Uh-huh.
She never opens them until she turns around.
It's petrifying.
Yeah.
That is a horrifying experience, and that's just something that can creep me out in my everyday life, because you should be laying in bed thinking, like, shit.
The blanket's going to, like, fall and touch me a little bit.
Yeah, I
swear to God, if I open my eyes and there's an arm right there.
So then we get to Boston, present day, and we see that Theo is a psychologist or psychiatrist or whatever it is. Doesn't that make so much sense knowing?
Did not see that coming at all. I thought she was just kind of like, you know, living off the family book money, just living with Cheryl's like side house. But when she has like this whole other side of her where it's not her being like a bad bitch hot in the club and stuff like that.
Like, it's the club.
It was good seeing this.
Like, I literally thought she was a degenerate. Like,
yeah.
Thought she like she would go to the club, like do drugs, bang random people, and then she bummed off her sister. And live.
Nah, she's getting her fucking PhD.
Yeah, she literally, it flashed at one point in the scene and kind of like shows on the wall doctorate in psychology. And it's like, goddamn. Actually, the first note I have is in all caps, Theo is beautiful.
Ugh.
Because my God.
Yeah.
When she's in business mode, she's hot.
I love psychology. Like, that was my favorite elective I took in college. So like, I just gravitate towards these kind of things. And the way she was just like talking to the kid, first thing I noticed right away, obviously, is her gloves are off.
Mm-hmm.
So she was willing to, you know, actually touch her. And now we know that, I mean, I guess we don't know what her power is or like what she can do.
Yeah.
But all we do know is that when she does touch actual skin or like remnants of where there was like high intense emotional scenes in the past, she can like feel that and experience it.
And there's a whoosh that goes.
Oh, is there?
Every single time.
Nice.
I'll say it now instead of when I wrote it down later in the episode, but I could watch Theo Crane just slowly run her fingers over things all day long. Like in the silence and the sounds, I'm like, Yeah. Is this like, woo?
Is this supposed to be sexy?
Just get me going. My God.
Yeah. So when she was talking to the little kids, we heard about like Mr. Smiley, which right off the bat, I'm like, this guy is going to suck. We have to see this.
That's in the episode description, too. So like, I was like ready to just latch onto any information with Mr. Smiley.
Mr. Smiley is the big bad of this episode.
Yeah.
The girl says he lives under the house when she's saying, like, you know, show me what happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is when she goes outside and she talks to the parents and she has her gloves on.
She puts them back on.
Yeah. I was like, notes. She is definitely not trying to touch on a purse.
Yeah, she's talking to Kelsey, the little girl, talking about how similar they are and how Theo and her are great builders, quote unquote. You can make yourself really safe. You just keep building a wall. And it's like classic Theo, just building walls. Mm. She's such an empath. And I would say that's her superpower, her hands. Like her she can feel everyone else's feelings.
Yeah, and that got me really thinking. I think it's a dumb theory now, after watching Luke's episode, but I was like totally attached to the idea. And there's a couple of hints throughout this episode that maybe each of the five kids was like a specific sense was connected to them. Theo obviously would be touched. Steve sees a ghost is the name of the first episode. So maybe he's sight multiple times. I think it's this episode or next one, we get a flashback where we have Hot Mama saying that the first thing Nelly said when she walked in the house was
it's loud.
Yeah. So I thought she was sound. And then, but Luke
surely doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, Cheryl's like she talks.
One
in her
would have to be taste.
But she talks in her sleep.
Yeah, I couldn't link that to anything. And then I thought Luke also makes sense as touch because he can feel what Nelly feels.
I think that's a good thought, though. I like that thought process, and I think all that we're really supposed to take out of this is that, and I think someone said it last episode, the cranes are special no matter what. The house, regardless of the house, the cranes are special. The house didn't make them this way.
Okay, because that was another thought I had, was that first opening scene of this episode when she gets touched on the hands by the ghost. I thought that could have been like a hint at how she got these abilities. Like maybe that was somewhat related. But if you're saying it's the cranes are special and that's just like the theme, then I'm just grasping at straws.
Yeah, because Hot Mama says that her mom, so their grandmom, were sensitive as well. So I guess we're just supposed to assume that it's been passed down.
Okay.
Did you guys see when Theo was talking to the girl's parents, the girl in the back, she was just staring at the smiley face poster?
Yeah.
Terrifying.
I didn't notice that, but I noticed the smiley face poster, of course.
Yeah, she's just standing right in front of it, like,
just
not
so
moving.
That's so sad.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, so then we get Young Theo and Daddy Crane going through stuff. They're going to sell stuff, chuck it, whatever, throughout the house. And Theo finds this like really expensive wine bottle by just touching it. And of course, we don't know what's really happening yet with her touch.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was so cool. Like you're starting to learn.
And that's the first time she gets the sense off of not touching a human, right? Like where she's touching an object.
The first time we see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It happens millions of times because then Mrs. Dudley and Mama, Hot Mama, are talking about, is it cold in the house? And she's saying, it's always cold.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that?
I don't even know.
The house is just ghosts and she is just touching ghosts.
Yeah, she's literally touching them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's specific movies or things, but I've heard before that when you're around ghosts, it's supposed to be cold.
You can like see your breath and
stuff.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know.
Is that Sixth Sense when they do that?
Yeah, I mean, they do it in like
But yeah, so I always just took it as it's a house full of ghosts. So she just feels the ghosts around at all times.
Yeah, because she said specifically this house is always cold.
Yeah.
Which is.
Doesn't the dad just seem like such a goof, like a dummy goof when during it? I'm like, every time the kids like want to talk to him about something, he's just like, no, that's not real. And it's like, here's a wine bottle. He's like, this is a good wine bottle. Like, how'd you do that?
He sounded like such a douche.
And Paul defended him as a good dad.
He is. And I'm still standing by.
He's, like, he's up to some. They all hate him. And we know that now in the future. So he's done some sketchy shit that we're going to hate him. I already have some weird feelings about him.
But I can't wait for you to meet, because you still haven't like actually got to spend time with adult daddy.
Right.
I can't wait. Yeah. It's good stuff.
All right. So back to the psychology, I guess, room, wherever her office she works. She sees the Stevens Haunting of Hill House book. I think we get a flashback to 6 years ago. This is when we actually get Steven showing them the script, right? Is that this part, right, Cheryl?
Yeah, go ahead.
And Cheryl's like, you know, leading the hate train on Steve, saying like, fuck you, like, don't do this. But everyone kind of just verbalizes that they won't take the money, even though Cheryl's husband is kind of like, seems like he'd be willing to.
So whipped. He's like, yeah. Oh, no, no, totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Blood don't money. Want it. Yep. Blood money.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, the whole point of this meeting is that he's trying to say that, Cheryl, I get what you're saying. You make a lot of sense, but I'm not going to get rid of the book. I'm just going to give you guys 8%.
Jimmy, I'd take your money. I take the blood.
Yeah, I'd give you that. I'd give you more than 8%.
Thank you.
Yeah, he was like, "It's you guys were right. Like, I kind of stole. I didn't come up with these. I stole these stories from you guys. You guys are all a part of it." Which, you know, was kind of cool. I mean, I wouldn't be too.
I'd take the money.
100% take.
Of course, Luke would take the money.
Yeah, you always take the money. I don't care about the principles.
You take the money. Yeah.
Okay, so now we're back to a quick flash to young Theo doing that dance thing with the, you know, she's, I think we maybe will get something on this because nothing came from this. Yeah, the door starts like knocking.
It's just showing her as her, like, what she's doing. I think it's supposed to creep you out, one, because of course we get the lion again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's what the lion doorknob, yeah.
Yeah, put the music in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cold-hearted snake.
There's got to be a hidden ghost in this scene somewhere.
I was looking for it.
No, I didn't see any in this part.
A quick scene I want to talk about is Baby Nell, Luke, and Theo. And they're trying to put buttons through those like tuba things or whatever. And when she touches the bed and she says, "This was a sick bed," I was like, "No, thank you. No,
I was
thank
like,
you."
That's when I was like, all right, so she just knows like the history of whatever she touches or something.
And then Nellie goes, "This is Eleanor Crane calling." Like, it's so cute. And then he's like, "What's your favorite pudding?" And she says, "Rice." And he's like, she's like, "No, it's not." And he's like, "It is now." And she goes, "You need to tell me these things, Luke." Like, you're kidding.
That was funny.
I'd love to have a twin. God. Now I just have Jimmy.
Sorry.
What's my favorite pudding?
None.
That's good.
All right, so let's flash back to the club for the second time. And this is...
She's getting it.
Adult Theo again, you know. It's the night or two after the first meeting with the Asian girl, and she is there again, and they make eye contact, and she specifically, Theo, that is, specifically kind of looks away, like doesn't give her the time of day.
So Theo is in her bed, and she's going over the notes and writing her thoughts down on this little girl. What's her name?
Kelsey.
All of a sudden, just zones out. And then her pen is just kind of like taken over and she just draws a smiley face. And then she like comes to and sees it and like closes everything. And I was like, no, I don't like that at all. That's terrifying. It just like possessed her. So that was 100% a creep count. And then,
now, is that number one for you? Because we didn't really get any other creep counts.
No, there were. I didn't mention them. One, when she was doing the dance by herself, young Theo, and then the doorknob. And then there was like a really loud thud when she was getting close to it. That was one.
That's the creep count.
That's
yeah,
creep
that
count,
made
the thud
my
jumps.
Oh yeah, 100%. I think the girl staring at the poster
creeped you out a little bit.
Yes, it was like disgusting.
But yeah, back to the smiley face.
In the opening scene. Sorry.
Yeah.
That was fucking terrifying.
The smiley face I just liked because she's just so, I don't like it, but she's so consumed with thinking about this little girl and like feeling all this empathy for this little girl, and it takes us through the whole episode of her just being like, I gotta figure out what's happening with this. I like the part where we get to it, where she does say, I shook this little girl's hand and she had so many walls built up that I couldn't feel anything.
Right.
Like, that's so fucked up for a little kid.
Yeah. And so it's important to know that how the person perceives things is how she can feel it. So, because she couldn't tell that it was like a whole other part until she physically touched the couch later in the episode. So she saw what the girl saw, which is Mr. Smiley, this monster that she compartmentalized.
Yep,
that's the word.
There you go.
Yeah. So if we're good there, there's like two quick flashback scenes we get, which kind of feed into each other. The first one is when Theo and Luke are in the kitchen by the dumbwaiter and Mrs. Dudley is freaking out at Luke for playing with it, right?
She grabs him like with both hands on the arms and Theo's like, don't grab him, like let go of him.
Yeah, and don't they touch, like that's when her skin touches Mrs. Dudley and she just like can feel all of her emotions and how she reacts?
She says
she's not mean, she's scared.
Right.
Which I don't know who she is.
Dudley. Talking about Mrs.
She's
Dudley, because as Luke is walking away, he says, you don't have to be so mean. And then she says, she's not mean. She's just scared.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And right here, first ghost hidden.
No way.
This one's weird. I didn't notice it, but as you're seeing Theo and Luke walk out of the kitchen, there's a mirror right in front of them, and it's just like a distorted ghost in the mirror. It's pretty. It looks like almost like the Saw guy to me.
Oh my God, yeah, man! Yeah. How do you?
I didn't see that one. So
show it on. To Paul.
I'm gonna show it to Paul.
I don't believe.
Show it to that boy.
Oh yeah. Okay. Okay. I like can't tell. I think my computer.
Well, I'm telling you, man. The next one I'm about to say is like the next scene, and I still can't see it.
This
really,
is the scary scene, right? The creep scene with the dumbwaiter.
Well, yeah, but yeah. So almost. I'm saying.
I saw a ghost there.
I did love Theo sticking up for Luke there. How cool!
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a cool older sister.
So now it's late at night. Theo comes down to get something out of the refrigerator, and. You know, that's when I was like, is that a ghost? Because you only see his legs in the dumbwaiter. And I'm like, nah, that's Lukey. So Luke's just sitting in the dumbwaiter and she's saying, what are you doing? And he's saying, I'm just trying to get this thing to work, man. And I'm scared of Mrs. Dudley. I don't want her to catch me. And she says, Mrs. Dudley doesn't come around at night.
I might have to insert all types of clips of these little kids talking because it's so fucking. She's like, he's like, you have to shut the door. He's like, I can't reach the buttons. Then. Yeah. I'm like, fucking hell, you're so cute.
So Theo decides, reluctantly, I'll help you out, whatever. She shuts the door and hits the button to the right. I think it's supposed to be the up button because Luke thinks he's going up.
What's he say, like up, up and away or something like that?
Yes.
And he's like, up, up, up. What are you doing?
My God, man. When it starts moving down, I was like, oh, this is going to be so fucking scary.
I was like, this is going to suck. And it does because, of course, she has the flashlight, like the cheap flashlight. And no matter what, it's always going to blink and start going out.
It's going to flicker on you, man.
And I was like, no.
There doesn't have to be any fucking ghosts down there. Three rats that we saw, and I'm out.
I mean, he's like looking around and being all cool, just being like, oh, there's a ladder. There's this. And I'm like, you just shined it on three rats, dude. Like, I would be freaking out right now.
And then you see in the back, there's like a barrel and you see something sticking out from behind it. And
at this,
and then it just, oh my God, I was so scared at this point. The flashlight's starting to flicker a little bit, and that's when this goddamn zombie
mummy looking fucking thing
starts crawling towards Luke. Oh my God.
Incredibly fast too. I'm like, all right, like I would have died of a heart attack before that thing ever touched me.
15 creep points all in itself.
That was more than one. I think that was like three at that because I was completely terrified. It was like one when he went down and two when the hand flopped out and then two more when it started crawling and then he comes out of the dumbwaiter when the parents come down and his shirt is torn. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
How would they not be a little bit curious about what ripped his shirt apart?
Well, they say they think it's a dumbwaiter ripping it, but let me ask you guys, because at this point in three episodes, we've seen ghosts and we've seen, you know, we know that they're not lying about them. Bent neck lady, we know that Luke isn't lying. This is the first time we think they actually have been attacked or touched or can actually be harmed. So what do you guys think?
That's what I was gonna say. This is like the first instance we get of the physical contact of a ghost on one of the kids, because before it's just been like you see it, you close your eyes, you scream, parents run in, they're gone.
Yeah,
there's gotta be something to the fact that they can't hurt them. Like, these ghosts could murder all of them whenever they wanted if they had some ill intent. I have no guesses, though. I'm just kind of talking out loud, but just the way that they're protected just reminds me of just, you know, like lock and key family, like they're protected by the house, like things like that, where it's just something about them, their family is special.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I got to ask you guys, did you guys notice that it kept showing the dumbwaiter like 200 pound limit tag?
Okay.
Yeah.
And it showed it multiple times, and then it even once zoomed up on it. And then all it had was like the serial number. And like, I don't know, I wrote it down and I was like, all right, I'm going to look for these numbers and see if this means anything. Because the first one was like SR 1723. No idea what that is. Then it's HWF Co. And I was like, all right, we better learn what HWF stands for.
Isn't it not the...
Love this about you, Paul.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. And detective. Then there's like a bunch of other numbers that are like 0037923. I have no idea what that means.
It would be so cool if we found out that literally meant something.
I was writing down addresses too of like the little girl's house, and I was like, fuck, these numbers don't line up.
Yeah. Well, I know that the first time they show it, or one of the main times they show it, is specifically because Luke says that he can fit and it's fine.
It's like for a child.
And she's just trying to...
She agrees to help
because Theo's looking and she said, oh, it's not too heavy.
Yeah. But even so, they get back up and they're fussing over Luke and whatever and Theo's crying and everything. They say later, like, it's just a crawl space. I'm like, you should know about a crawl space too. Why are you so not believing him? Why would a dumbwaiter go to a fucking crawl space?
It would need to be
like
something,
the parents make me so mad that they don't believe them.
Yeah. And if, like, say it was a crawl space, like, wouldn't you want to find a way to access it?
Yeah.
Like,
wouldn't you want to go see what the hell
exactly.
it is?
They didn't even attempt until Theo did it herself.
Yeah. She
which is insane.
Grabbed the house by the nuts.
And I loved this because it is sweet of her to say, listen, Luke, I'm sorry. It wasn't her fault, but she's like, I'm sorry, whatever. And they go through those steps, walking to find that. And
she touches his hand and says, I believe you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
And I like this, too, because he's sitting there and he's like, no one ever believes me. No one does. And that flawlessly takes us into all next episode. Of course, we're not there yet. But his whole life, he has been seeing things and nobody believes him. Mm-hmm. It's devastating.
Except for Nell. Right?
Except for now.
Except for our girl now. I can't wait for the Nell-centric episode for you guys. It's going to rock your world.
Can't wait. Is the next scene like the worst scene?
Yeah. They don't give us a second to breathe. We just go right into... Was there something?
I'm going to say, this is my life for night terrors. This.
Yeah.
What I experience.
I agree.
So I understand where Theo doesn't fully believe it. Like, the covers are getting slowly pulled off of her.
This is
what I experience. I wake up and there aren't any covers on me. Like, they're folded somewhere. I do wacko shit.
Oh my God.
Did I do that or did someone else? I don't know. I did just see a monster at the end of my bed, but do I just ignore it?
And it's important to note, too, that is the night that Nellie dies because she freaks out, hits the lights on real quick, and that's when we see the connecting to Cheryl's episode when you think that's Steve calling her and telling her Nell died, but he really wasn't connected. But Cheryl ends up... I actually don't know if it's this specific scene where we get the conclusion of that, but Cheryl walks up to the house and they have their conversation, right? Mm.
Yeah, so Mr. Smiley freaks her out. Mm-hmm. She wakes up.
God,
that was like, yeah. That was
good. I don't even know. Like, that's so... He doesn't even have facial features, and he was so unbelievably terrible.
It almost looked like a tree head, like bark, but like with a wacky mouth.
And it was just... I mean, the explanation is awesome later in the episode, so it makes sense. But, like, that was terrifying.
So, this is, Luke, when Cheryl knocks on the door, comes in, and then she says that Nell is dead.
That was the Cheryl... In the Cheryl episode, we saw her go out, heard a scream from Theo. Okay, so this is that moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Theo finds out that Nellie killed herself, and she is just, like, in shock. Is this where they're sitting on the bed? They're sitting on the bed... She's so mad at Nellie for doing it because she says she knows what it could do to a family. She knows because they lived it with her mom.
This conversation with Cheryl was actually kind of cool because she's saying, like, my kids are going to ask and I don't know what to do. And Theo was like, just tell them the truth. It's better than telling them they're lying to them. And then she's like, what do I say? And she says, just say you're sad. And, like, looking back, that's exactly what Cheryl did.
Yep.
So it was pretty
And I
cool.
made fun of her for it.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
Yeah, so that whole scene's kind of interlocked with another, you know, like, they're always having parallel scenes kind of going on at the same time. That's because we're also getting the 2 years ago at Nell's wedding and seeing Arthur for the first time in person. And then everyone at the wedding, they're looking for the bridesmaid. Baller move. Theo's out there banging her in the right corner. Mm-hmm. And it's cool. It's weird. I guess I never really thought about it, but the whole family didn't know that Theo was a lesbian until this moment.
Yeah, she's blowing the maid of honor's mind.
Yeah. She was making her fucking scream. We also get the first lines for Arthur, right? Correct?
Yeah.
That's his name?
Sweet, sweet boy.
Sweet. Yeah. I can't wait for Nell's episode to learn more about Arthur because he
Next
seems
one.
Real cool.
Well, I really like the scene because it's one of the few to get them happy. We get them in a happy scene. And I love when Nellie and Steve are like, we didn't know you were into. And she goes, bridesmaids. And they just die laughing. And Nell just like bear hugs her and is like, I love you. And it's like Nell's happiest night of her life.
Nell's the best.
Hugging her sister who... Of course, at this point, all you know is they haven't talked since L.A., which we got in the last few episodes.
Right.
And you think they all hate each other and you see this like really sweet moment. And you're like, where did it all go wrong?
The house.
The house.
But then, yeah, that is our flashback and forth. And then we get the Cheryl Theo conversation. You know, you find out that she had her psychology degree. They're just adding layers to Theo, kind of making her, fleshing out her character a little bit more. And Theo's just fucking mad at Nell.
Yeah.
And she's saying, just for going back to the house. Like, she's saying, like, she should have known better, right?
Yep.
So she's pissed. And I guess I can't really guess now, but without like having any credibility, but it's going to have something to do with like how the mom committed suicide. If she's not the bent neck lady, Paul, what do you think? Is the mom the bent neck lady?
No.
I don't know, man, because I'm starting to think more and more that she could be.
Well, we saw her a little bit as a ghost later this episode, and her neck was pretty straight. Her head was exploded.
In the Luke episode, you mean?
No, right. When Theo touches her.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, later this episode. And like,
her neck is pretty straight.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
That's creepy.
It doesn't seem that bent to me.
I mean, maybe she was just hiding it. She's like a turtle, and it's just going to come out and then go sideways. But no, I think there's got to be multiple different entities just haunting the shit out of that place. Can't be one, because I mean, Luke's episode next, we'll talk to it, but that's that fucking terrifying human being is very different than the bent neck lady.
Yeah, I'm so curious, because that's like the ghost that's gripping me the most.
It's literally the next title of the next, dude. Fuck yeah, that rhymed. Get that on a shirt.
Like, she is not only, in my opinion, the scariest ghost, but she's gonna be the most important ghost, because she's gonna be the reason, like how Luke sees the mom at the end of next episode. Maybe that's what was happening to Nell, because the mom at the end of next episode is saying, "Come home." Like, that is something, I think.
I mean,
the ghost is just going to be coming. I don't know.
That's a vet laugh.
All right, let's keep going, because I'm just going to.
Yeah, so this is the scene where Theo goes up to Luke, apologizes.
She touches him, and there's a whoosh.
Yeah, believes him. She says how many steps until the ladder, and that's how they figure out how to get down. So now she is scoping out. She finds it and is scoping this place out. And I'm like, this bitch, this is so scary. How dare you?
Yeah, it's a baller, dude.
Such a baller. I would never go down those steps without 7 cops upstairs. Give me 5 flashlights. We're going down. I'm going fifth.
Let's be honest. You're never going down.
I'm not going down.
Yeah, right. All right. So I got 2 ghosts right here.
I was looking for him in this scene.
No, not in the underground scene. Oh, okay. But the one I missed, I didn't get to tell you guys, is when she's with Luke putting him down in the dumbwaiter. She's looking in the cage when he's going down instead of going up. And to the far right, one of the rooms is just black, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a face there. And I'm telling you right now, I would have never seen it. And I'm looking at the picture right now, and you still can hardly see it, but it's there.
Okay.
And then when Theo is moving whatever's on top of the door to get
it's
to
like
the...
It's a pasta maker or something.
Yeah,
like
something.
Yeah.
Dope.
Whatever it is. What, just slides it over.
I wasn't thinking pasta.
You thought
pasta.
That was a pasta maker?
Did you see the 2 like rolling pins that
I was
obviously
let that
squeezed?
One go.
Yeah,
I could never let that go.
No, that
looks
was...
like it could be a sewing machine to me.
Dude, that first of all, we find out it's called the cupboard. And you freaking... uncultured people, the Italians, when they make pasta, you put it through a roller like that.
What do you know about it?
And get them really thin, and then you chop them up. You slice them. That was, I'm telling it, it's like a pasta.
So are you telling me there was a ghost in the pasta maker?
No, yeah, underneath the pasta maker.
It comes out of the pasta maker. So when she's moving it, the far left corner, you see, it looks just like a coat's hanging, but the coat has a hand. So it's a ghost watching her.
Okay. So Theo is on her way down to the creepy little zombie cellar.
One more.
Oh, you're gonna.
As she
one?
Opens the door to the stairs, there's a ghost in one of the rungs of the stairs in between, just watching her.
What the fuck?
And we don't notice it.
That's
like
insane.
Tickling her feet
ridiculous.
As she goes down.
Like, I'm looking at it now. It's ridiculous. It's just another white faced ghost just staring right at her.
I don't know how you don't notice that, because you are staring at her going
exactly.
down the steps. It's crazy. Anyway, yeah, I mean, she finds Luke's ripped shirt in the middle of the room, meaning...
And keeps it.
And keeps it, but that means something got him. And, like, if he ripped it on the dumbwaiter, it would either be on the dumbwaiter or right there. It was in the middle of the room, so yep. I love that.
And I did feel a lot better when she found the lights. She kind of flicked them on. Yeah. And I was like, whew. All right. Yeah.
And she, when she touches it, she says something like, you were so scared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And is that, was there a whoosh there when she picked it up?
I think you're the only one who.
Paul, how many whoosh counts are there?
I'll tell you, there's at least 6 different whooshes in my notes.
So then Theo finds a kind of locked door, which we later find out this house used to be an operation for bootlegging when there was prohibition going on. So maybe there's some history to like death in this house. I don't know.
Death and scandal.
I don't know how that could be important outside there being secret little compartments throughout the whole house, which makes a little, that makes a little sense. But
since we're at this part, we can keep diving in. This is the bootlegging operation. Hot Mama has the book, big book. She's telling her all about it. This is where we get that big scare where she touches her mom and it's like,
when her neck's straight as hell. And before that, she says, like, what you found, what's it called? The ledger?
Yeah, ledger.
The ledger wasn't in the blueprints anywhere. Like, it's amazing that you found this.
So now the other thing I wanted to ask you guys is, now that we got that jump scare from Theo touching Hot Mama, I mean, we know that when she touches people, it means something. So what do you think that means about Hot Mama? Just the fact that she, you know, she dies eventually? Or
My note was like, is she already dead? Question mark. Like, I don't know. I couldn't put a good theory down yet. Like that was my thought. Hot Mama is going to be the key to everything. And I'm obsessed with it. And anytime we talk about it, I get heated with fucking Bent Neck Lady because they're the same goddamn person or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because Theo hasn't ever told or foretold the future. So that's why I'm wondering what the deal is. And I'm a vet, so I'm asking you guys too.
It could be linked to the grandmother having the sensitive powers as well. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, this is also the scene. I mean, we already talked about it, but I just forgot to mention when she hands the book to Hot Mama, she says, like, this was a book of secrets that, like, they were trying to hide from everybody. And I was like, that's sweet.
And then Hot Mama says, how do you know? And it's same as how you knew about the bottle. You know, she's starting to catch along.
And this is perfect to jump into. Hot Mama eventually gives her gloves because she goes through the entire family lineage of all the different people in the family that feel something. So she says, grandma was like that too. She says that I have these migraines. We're sensitive, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
She says,
that was cool.
Surely when she's sleep talking, Nellie says the house was loud. And I love when she goes, such an odd word she chose.
Yeah.
Such like a mother's intuition of listening to her little girl saying the house is loud and being like,
Olivia. I love her, man. She listens to the kids way more than the dad does. And she should have been the one that lived.
Olivia, a.k.a. Hot Mama. I mean, she's such a good actress. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous how good of an actress she is. So we have 2 more scares right here. Creep count ghosts. We have when Theo is talking to Hot Mama about this book of secrets in the back room under the chandelier. There's just a ghost watching her.
I'm going
to
get one of these before you tell me. One of these
you times. Better, dude. Do you have any notes on these, Paul?
I've been looking.
And then another one when Theo is walking away, there's just a bald dude staring at her from behind a doorway.
Fuck you, bald dude.
And then one more. As Hot Mom is giving the gloves to Theo, there's a long-haired lady standing in the shadows and watching them.
Real quick to go back to what originally asked, when Theo touched the mom, can she, like, see? She can't see into the future,
That's what he said.
Doesn't make any sense.
I don't.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I was just going to say. Like,
nothing has told us yet, at least to this point, that she can see anything in the future, meaning, like, it has to be grounded in some sort of experience that she's had.
Which she's already ghost. She was a ghost this whole
time. That's what I'm saying. She could be dead. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows?
It's insane. Is she one of the hills? Like, is she fucking?
Wow, that would be fucking awesome.
She's descendant of one of the hills.
She Faye was just Hill like a or whatever.
Dead ghost hill.
I know Faye Hill is one of the
frail human.
Frail humans. Yeah. I just want to say there was a whoosh when Theo and them touched.
All right.
She saw that.
So let's take it back to Theo's house called a Kelsey.
Yeah, this is intense and makes me so ill inside. I don't like it at all.
But at least it was during the day. So, you know, a little bit more natural light. Felt a little bit better going in.
So Kelsey's in a foster home, which we haven't mentioned yet. We just said parents, but it is a foster. So she makes a house call and she has to go in the basement because she's the whole episode. This has been haunting her. She's been mentioning
haunting, huh?
Yeah, she can't get it out of her brain. It's fucking her up big time. Besides everything else in her life, this is really like weighing on her more than maybe other patients might. So she goes in the basement. She's like I said, she's like slowly like running her fingers across things.
Nothing.
Sherlock Theo, love it.
Truly. And then the couch.
And you know what happens when she touches the couch?
Whoosh.
I swear, dude, go back and listen.
Bad vibes on that couch. And I like that when Theo is actually experiencing it, she's experiencing it. Like she's screaming. She is enveloped in that memory or in that emotion.
She was crying.
And damn, is that good? When her eyes slowly flicker, great acting. Oh, my God. Her eyes slowly flicker to the ceiling when she sees the smiley face that Kelsey has been seeing this whole time. I was like,
that is the thumbnail for the episode as well. That scene when she's looking up at the couch.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the smiley face, though, is it?
No. It's just
okay,
her.
Good. Yeah. I was going to say, I was like, that's a spoiler. I mean,
that was horrifying. Like, she was just laying there and all of a sudden she started crying, screaming, no, like, please stop. That would be horrible to just experience. No wonder, like, she wears gloves. Like, if you're just, like, randomly touching people.
Yeah, I mean, literally, you're finding out things about people. Like, later, she hugs Steve, and it's like, I don't want to hug. Like, Kathleen, I'm not hugging you. What if there's some shit I don't want to know?
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me. That makes sense.
So, another point, because I brought it up earlier. She can only experience things the way that the people experiencing them think about it. So why I'm bringing that up is because when she's on the couch feeling all that horror, she still isn't seeing exactly what's happening, which takes us to our next scene when she goes upstairs to talk to the dad. She still needs to confirm her suspicion that this is all just something going on in Kelsey's mind, that she's making out the dad to be Mr. Smiley. So when she takes her gloves off or doesn't put them back on, whatever, and shakes his hand to say bye, and they have that like 5 second like awkward look, and he says, "What are you looking at?" And she says, "Your smile."
Yeah.
And then right there, she knows, because now she's feeling it through him.
Mm-hmm.
The Mr. Smiley monster that Kelsey made up in her head is gone now. Because like,
yeah,
she's
and
seeing
he's
the real event.
Not expecting this. So his mind is, he doesn't have any
exactly.
walls built up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And that's like an awesome twist on like her power. It's not like straightforward at all.
Right.
Which also brings us back to Hot Mama. Like maybe Hot Mama was experiencing weird shit with her migraines, giving her like those visions and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
She was seeing some shit.
But isn't it cool how in the next scene you get that Theo took the money? Isn't that awesome? Like, I remember being like, shit, because Kevin comes and talks to her and Theo takes the money.
Hell yeah. She's the smartest one.
Yeah.
The most badass.
Hell
too.
Yeah.
I totally didn't even catch that. She didn't want to hug him because she didn't want to know something. I thought she was kind of bitter about the book.
So we find out too later in the episode that she doesn't have to be like touching hands. I mean, the dad touches her arm and she starts to get flashes of stuff. So any kind of skin to skin contact and she's feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the, I'm going to get my fucking PhD.
Mm-hmm.
But also to branch off that money scene that you were just talking about, I think it's important to bring up that I forget who specifically says it, but Steve, I think it might've been whatever. So Steven was apparently asleep for 99% of that night, being I don't even know what it was.
The night.
Yeah.
Night when
so,
the mother killed themselves.
Which
they
is
left.
Such a good
mother
story.
Killed themselves.
Such a good story.
Grow
writing
up,
direction
bro.
By the writers to show us Steven's story first because he knew the least, being the most skeptical, only saw like one instance of ghosts there in that night.
That was 1%. I don't even want to.
That's awesome.
See the other.
Yeah, 99. Nell. I'm not ready for Nell's episode. That's gonna be wild.
So then we get a scene where Theo is leaving her part of the house and going into Cheryl's part, going underneath to called the morgue section. She's going in to see Nell because when Nell's body first arrived, she said, "Cheryl, I can't do this." Walked out. Now she's going, and she has a line where she says, "Jesus wept."
Yeah, I don't think I ever clocked that.
I didn't either. I needed the subtitles to even catch it.
Well, she says it perfectly loud
enough.
She does,
but
I mean, it's the only thing she says in the entire scene.
And it made no sense to me whatsoever.
And she just, one by one, each finger off in the glove. I mean, 30 seconds worth of taking gloves off, and I didn't even care.
I was not ready for her to touch Nell at all. Because the second she does, the acting that Theo's actor does in the scene when she just starts fucking freaking out, I was like, god damn, we're gonna find out what that is that she saw, and it's gonna be insane.
Dude literally went from nothing for 2 seconds to just absolute screaming, and then to just absolute sobbing. Like, yeah. Oh my God, what the hell did Nell go through?
Cheryl is now aware of the other bank account, which is good.
The other checkbook,
which is just their way of saying that Kevin's been taking the money. And that makes a lot of sense because Cheryl's been doing her best to bankrupt the funeral home.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm such an idiot. That's what that was for.
So that's why
she has the line.
Now you can like Kevin again, because in the first episode you said, oh man, I don't want to not like Kevin because you thought it was like a mistress. And Theo actually says,
Theo actually says that
would be better.
I do like Kevin. And then Kevin says to Theo, like, you're not going to tell her because this is going to be worse for you than it is for me, which is so true because she would have just hated her for knowing the family dynamics and still going behind her back and taking the royalties. So
I totally didn't catch it. I thought that was going to be something we learned about later on. I thought Kevin was a bastard or something like that.
That just went right over your head.
I didn't realize he was taking the money too. Yeah. So we kind of already touched on the scene a little bit, but I just wanted to go back because there was some hardcore making out. And there was also a scene where when Theo was telling Trish about the little girl, she was saying, I touched her hand and I couldn't even see, and then she kind of trailed off. This scene told me, because in the beginning when she said, I built walls brick by brick, I pictured myself, like, people now have the ability to build up walls and be resistant to whatever power. So like, there is something there. I feel like there's something more to that. Either if we're going to meet somebody who has the same walls, or if like they learn how to build their own walls or something like that. But I don't know. I just thought that was cool. It was cool world building, because it's not just like a be all power where you touch everything.
Right.
She's not Mesmer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There you go.
Good goddamn reverence. All right. Let's hit it. Last scene. This scene was a powerhouse climax of the episode. It was the first time, I think, we're going back to the OG night, right? Did we go back into it in Cheryl's episode? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So this is... The dad's all frantic. Young dad's all frantic. He's pulling Luke and
Nell.
He's pulling Luke and Nell and saying, like, Theo, you got to get them to the car. I'm going to go get Steve. He's still asleep, which resonates with my point earlier.
Steve and Cheryl.
Yeah. Steve's been asleep this whole night. Basically, he hasn't seen anything.
Pussy.
So she's kind of resistant, saying, like, oh my God, like, what's going on? As any little child would be when your dad's acting like this. And then that's when the dad actually brushes up against her, like, elbow skin, because she's still wearing the gloves. And you get like 20 flashes.
Yeah. So break it down, fellas.
I definitely paused.
Yeah. Me too. So, Paul, you tell me what I didn't see, because what I saw was I wrote hot mama / Bette Neckley, because I was not differentiating yet. Like the gray eyed.
I just had ghoul. Smiling. You had that. You had that as Bette Neckley. I just had like a maybe ghost or the mom. I mean, it could totally be the mom.
She was just smiling. We had clearly rotten dead corpse going on in another flash. Another flash was Nell was freaking out while the dad was slamming things off the table. And another flash was
the tea party.
Yeah. Another flash was exactly. Another flash was a little girl sitting on the stairs, which we find out is Abigail in the next episode. Yeah,
it looked like Abigail from the drawings.
Yeah. Too, yeah.
Good job, Luke. That's good. That's good. Drawing, Luke.
The stairs looked like
he's an artiste.
The room that Nell was ballroom dancing in. So I'm just assuming for now that Abigail's in there sitting in the red room. That's pretty much everything I saw. Did you see anything else?
Okay, so that dead rotting corpse that you were actually talking about.
Zombie?
If you pause it, there is a cane right next to him. And that cane looked exactly like
Luke's ghost. Awesome.
So maybe they're related. I don't know. And also
cousins.
We think possibly. And we also got hot mom was yelling stop and got shoved up against the wall by the dad.
Yep.
I did write is the dad potentially abusive? So that's probably why. But
and yeah, that's all I had.
Okay.
This is a lot of information.
Yeah. And in that 5-second flash, not even.
It was amazing. Mm. It was so good. And the creepiest part of it is the first flash you get of the smiling gray ghoul face.
And she just yells, stop touching me. Like, stop. So did the dad must have, the dad must have seen all of that. Is that what you draw from this?
Yes.
Yep.
That I'll confirm.
Theo is seeing all this because the dad has already seen all of this happen.
Yeah. And the gray eyed thing keeps bringing me back to like the end of the first episode when Nell's ghost does that to Steven and she just starts freaking out, screaming, and she turns all gray eyed. I think that's just going to be some sort of symbolism of a human being a ghost. Like
gray eyes is like totally a theme going on. We also got at the tea party when the dad was like smashing his hand on the table, his hand was tied up or bandaged. We know that's a continuous thing from the first Steve's episode because it was bandaged then. And when the dad goes to grab Theo and tell her to bring Luke and Nell to the car, I was pausing, I was stopping, I was doing everything I could. They do not show his hands enough to see if he's wearing it there or not. I was trying real hard, and they kept hiding it.
All right, so I have two more ghosts here. I don't want to get too into it, but the one that I thought was pretty ridiculous that I caught, but I can't believe I didn't catch it before, and I guess you guys didn't because you would have said anything. When Daddy...
Oh, yeah. I like where this is going.
When Daddy... So when Hugh was pulling on Nell and Luke trying to get them out, there's a red lamp, and they're running down a hallway, and there's just this straight-up guy watching them, meaning ghost watching them. Just it's so in... place. It's like, I don't know how you don't see it.
Wow. I paused.
Yeah, I'm just showing it to Luke and Paul now.
This show is crazy. It's so good at directing your focus towards specific things that they can just get away with this. Because I'm so scared. I'm not like really looking around.
Yeah, and then when he touches Nell, or when he touches Theo, when he's trying to pull her back towards the car.
Wait, is this one a statue? Because I thought there was like a statue in the right background.
Yeah, it looks like a statue. Yeah,
but it is a ghost.
It's a ghost.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it was a ghost. I don't count that though. I don't count that.
Put it on the board.
Real quick, I was just gonna say we get a lot more sexy making out time between Trish and Theo.
Yep.
And then after she cuts from being a young Theo of screaming, "Don't touch me!" cuts to here. Hot throws a passion, Theo. She's like, touch me.
I just want to say that Theo's power is a burden and a curse. Like, could you imagine when the dad touches her and she sees that? That's like an assault in itself. Like, it's unexpected. She's not consenting to that by any means. It's like, fuck that power most of the time. Like, of course, it's obviously making her a better psychiatrist. I honestly don't know what she is, but it helps in that. But it's also such a burden. Like, imagine being a 10-year-old and having this burden on you, like touching Luke and knowing how scared he is, or touching Mrs. Dudley and saying she's not mean, she's scared. Like, that's.
But it is a good explanation as to why she's less of a skeptic than the two oldest siblings, because she's seen some shit.
She has, and she's also just kind of like, I can't deal with this right now. She just kind of puts everything on the. She's not a skeptic as much as kind of like a. I can't fucking deal.
Yeah.
I just have to like bury myself in something else because I can't deal with this.
I have a question now, because way early in the episode, it's the scene where Steve is talking about giving them royalty check. Theo, like, she refuses initially, and she's like, I didn't read it. And then she says something to Nell like, what? Like, I heard all of Nell's ghost stories before.
Oh, so sad. Yeah.
Why does she say ghost stories? She said it like she doesn't believe in them. Was I just mishearing that? The way she was saying it, she was, I've already heard all of Nell's tales.
Yeah, I mean, I think the point is she's trying to say, like, I heard Dad's side of the story. I heard Nell's ghost stories. I heard your skeptic stories. I don't need to hear any other stories. I'm done with it. I just want to live in the moment. Give me that money.
Nah, she doesn't say it until... behind their backs.
She meant it when she looked at them.
All right, so going into episode 4, the twin thing, we get a pretty cool scene where it opens up with young Luke sitting in a field. I think it's the camera's only panned on himself for a little bit, and then you just go right over and you see him talking to the girl we see in the vision at the end of last episode, and we find out right away it's Abigail. Then we get opening credit scene, so now we know that Luke is not just seeing things, which we kind of course could assume. And Abigail is this little girl in a blue dress. She's probably a ghost. She's just like on the property.
I was going to say, you guys think she's a ghost?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. What are you, dumb? But what I was
asking,
did she like grab the drawing from him? Did she physically grab it?
I don't remember that.
Because he did like hold it out. And I don't know, like, don't know. If a ghost can physically interact with
him.
Ghost
can physically grab his clothes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So before we really jump in, I want to know what you guys think about Luke now, because he seemed like such a POS as an adult older. Like, what do you guys think now that you've seen this, now that you know that present day, he's actually not high. He's not. So now what?
Go ahead, Paul.
I was just going to say, like, the reason why I thought he was so drugged up in the first place is because something must have happened to him in his childhood in this house that just made him like want to go to drugs and escape. So I never, like, I always thought that's why he was a drug addict. Are you talking about the end?
I just mean like, okay, from the first two episodes, which we've already covered, he seems, when he's adult, he's stealing from Steve. You get all this background, like, okay, he's stolen from, Shirley's paying for him to get into rehab. He shows up to Nell's wedding, fucked up. And you're just like, not to sound insensitive to people who are addicted to drugs, because it's no joke, but you do kind of think like adult Luke is like kind
of shit,
a POS and like a goner. Like, you're like, there's no turning back for him. And you, when you see him with Steve in episode one, when he says Father Mucker or whatever, and he's stealing from Steve, you're like, ah, he's high as balls. He's because Steve says, are you cold? And he's like yeah, you think he's no, high and he's
when,
not.
When Luke is clean, and that's what the next scene is, like after the 90 days of being clean, he's a killer, man. He's like, he's
smoking
confident.
High.
He's cool. Like he's
smiling.
I enjoy Luke a lot more after this episode, by design, of course.
It reminds me of another Luke I know.
Handsome as hell. Wait, have you guys seen the preview for Bly Manor yet?
No.
Luke is in like a suit and looks slick as hell, and he's not a drug addict, and whoo!
That's awesome.
I mean, he is sexy as a drug addict, so my God. Yeah. Not addicted to drugs? That is just...
That's just the bee's knees.
It's just the
bee's
knees.
Now, Luke is awesome, and he has a cool power. And this whole episode kind of highlights a lot of it, that it's a twin thing. He can feel what Nellie can feel.
A title of that.
I think it's vice versa. They say it once.
No, they can.
But we don't get as much, obviously, from Nellie's perspective yet.
Well, yeah, but he does explain that when he breaks his ankle.
You're right.
It's so great. Isn't it cute?
Yeah, that would be horrible.
Same
thing you were just talking about, a burden.
Well, now that you know, can you imagine Nell's probably going through withdrawal with him? Nell's probably fucked up on drugs with him.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. Yeah. And we're going to have to see some of that, I would hope.
That makes sense. That sucks. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Just watching Luke deteriorate in this episode is so sad. Like, he's 90 days clean, his big... amazing speech that he does give that we don't get till the end, but it is, this first scene is where he's at. My God, like,
he looks great when he's cleaned up and all confident. And we see Joey is in the audience, Paige is in the audience, like, Steve's not there, no, but yeah, you know, he's about to give this whole speech, and then before we get the conclusion of that, we flash back to young Luke sitting in the treehouse, and instead of drawing Abigail, he's drawing this little zombie that was pulling at his shirt and tearing his clothes off. That sounds so wrong.
You're talking about Abigail?
Yeah, and then I think... I don't remember who he's talking to, but I know Luke is just saying, like...
He's counting his little soldiers.
Yeah, he's
saying,
he's
nobody
one,
believes
two.
In me, right?
Yeah, he's not talking to anybody. No. He's just protecting himself. Jumping?
You're going back. The no one believes me is when Theo walks in on him in the treehouse. This one is seven of the soldiers, which we get later of.
He's counting
for the seven
family members. Mm-hmm.
After the treehouse, we see him go into the house and show the actual drawing to Hugh. And he's saying, this house is bad. This is what attacked me. And Hugh's doing the thing we talked about earlier, where he's like, you know, you're little kids, see imaginary things. You need to grow up, pretty
Too
much.
Too many things have happened that I would be so concerned as a parent.
Yeah. So then Olivia walks downstairs, hot mama, and she's looking for Nellie. And that's another cute thing where she's hiding. And that's where Nellie gets the buttons.
Jimmy's got a soft side.
Jimmy thinks Nellie is Remy.
Yeah. Well, the audience doesn't know who Remy is, but it's my goddaughter.
So, yeah, Nellie gets the buttons. And then also Luke gets
the hat.
Yep. Yeah.
He just wants his look dapper in this hat. And this is where Hugh says, big boys know the difference between what's real and what's imaginary. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, well, guess what, Hugh? You're not fucking a big boy, because that's as real, and you think it's imaginary, you idiot.
You just gave him a ghost sack.
Yeah, seriously, truly. You fucked up. And this was cool when the dad puts it on him and goes, you like it? And Nell goes, he loves it. I can tell it's a twin thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Cute. Is this where the hot mama has the wild feeling of deja vu?
Yeah.
Just like insane. She gets so specific when talking to Hugh, but she was giving like a firsthand memory of being in the house in a prior time.
Holy shit, dude. She's having deja vu. Was she one of the hills and then died, and who she remembering was like the hills, the people that live there? Because she was saying things like a reading room, like there was books on the lower shelf, even
kid
for
in
the
wheelchair.
Yeah, for the kid in the wheelchair to access, and like all these crazy details. And it's like, dude, the mom was a mom for both families.
And Hugh's literally like, that's weirdly descriptive.
Exactly. Yes.
I think the key here, and we get it in Theo's episode, Theo asks Mom, Hot Mama, does Dad know? And she says, kind of.
Yeah.
So Hot Mama says, I'm having deja vu. So they come together and she's talking through it. And like Paul said, she's going into full detail. I think the main key here is that Hugh does not fully understand.
Yeah, he's still being condescending. He's being the same
word.
Way it's, that he is with the little kids to her, except he's a little like, I guess what you're like saying, Kathleen, is he's not being as like, I don't believe you, but he's still like, okay.
I see. No, I'm not seeing it like that at all. I think that he truly just thinks she's having one of her like he
episodes,
thinks that
like
no
a,
no I think that he thinks she's really good at envisioning things like if she designs the houses. I think that he thinks that she's just going, oh, I can see leathers here and this there and, and this and that, and then it gets really specific and he's like, okay, that was like really fucking specific. But she's blatantly seeing something that, like you guys said, already existed in this house. So I think that that's what it is. Now, I mean, I didn't think he was being very condescending there. I just think he's dumb. Again, dumb.
I do think, though, anytime he interacts with the children, he is condescending out of
perfect word for how he interacts with the kids.
Yeah, I'm team fuck you.
Thank you.
Now all of a sudden you're
you were riding for this to be your father in the first two episodes.
I wish. Fucking hearing it.
All right. So back to the rehab center with Luke. We have his new friend. He's having a conversation with his new friend, Joey. Both clearly addicts, just kind of helping each other along the path.
Just want to say real quick.
Yeah, go.
Babe.
Mega babe.
I didn't get that.
What?
I heard you saying that pre-podcast, but I didn't
get
that.
Okay, when they're at dinner with Steve, I was like...
Yeah, when she's super...
I would trade heads with that girl.
I think they're purposely, in certain parts, making her look a little dressed down because she's...
At, like,
they're
absolute shit.
Yeah, right. So, but she's huge, babe.
Huge. Babe. Even when she's cracked out, I'm in.
Kathleen's in.
So we get a couple of connecting the dots things in this following couple of scenes in the rehab center where we have the Paige, I think her name is. She's telling Luke that Steve was calling for him, asking for him, obviously to tell him about Nellie. And then we also get
Well, this was before.
Yeah, this is actually from Steve's episode where Nellie, I guess that's what you mean, but what, not to say Nellie's dead, but to say Nellie called about him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
And that's because that's exactly where in episode one, he finds out that he's 90 days clean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, huh, 90 days.
Yeah.
Huh, no way.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, no, no message.
Right.
Don't leave a message.
And then I think we do get the next scene being him waking up, Luke waking up at the 3:03 a.m. when all the siblings woke up together and holding his neck.
I think it was 12:03.
For him, it's 12:03.
12:03, yeah.
But, you know, 3:03.
That's got to be even crazier for Luke specifically, because not only did all the siblings feel that, he also feels specifically what Nellie feels. Like, like all of that. So that had to be a wild moment for him.
His neck definitely seemed like it was affecting him more when they all kind of woke up when she got choked. And that definitely makes like sense, because she was being choked. His neck was like, he was like, oh, I slept on it funny.
Suicide rope. Mama killed herself too. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's something there that both Nellie and the Hot Mama hung themselves.
And both in the gown or something like that. There's just parts and pieces. And
everywhere.
They're like this far apart and like, what the hell is this little part that connected them?
No comment.
No comment.
But we do learn a few things here with Joey and Luke scene. So he's doing step four, fearless moral inventory, and he's having trouble with it. He always gets stuck on this. My comment is Luke is so hot. But besides that, he said he burned Shirley for thousands of dollars. He's lied to Theo. He's stolen from Steve on countless occasions. He's broke Nellie's heart, missed her wedding, robbed my asshole of a father. And we learned that. So this is where we meet Joey. And we learn that she's 9 months clean, just to say. So she is helping Luke through it because she is triple the amount of clean than he is at this point. But I just thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was cool. And then right when he wakes up from the choking, when Nell dies at 12:03, he, after a while, he's staring and he sees Nell, right?
Creep count.
Dude, 100% creep count. And all she says, I was expecting her to do what she did to Steve and just her mouth get huge.
Turn gray and stuff.
Yeah, and start yell. And all she says is go.
And he takes that as a sign that he has to
go find
save Joey. Yeah.
Which it might have been. Who's to say?
Or go to the house. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. They're totally going back to the house this season, right? They have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's happening. So then we get a flashback to them youngins again. This is Luke and Nell talking through
the indoor
communication
porn.
I called it tuba, and I think I fucked this up because last episode I said buttons to the tuba, but I think this is the buttons to the tuba.
Well, no, yeah. I think it comes up. Maybe.
No, I think you did.
I fucked it up. But it was still using that tuba thing to do stuff. Talk. Okay.
Well,
buttons.
I have a ghost alert. So when they're looking in it, it's a pan out. And to the far left, the door to the other room, there's a hand just like literally putting its hand down the glass.
Oh God, movement is something I can't believe we don't catch moving ghosts.
Whenever the camera just kind of like spins around a person, I'm always looking in the background, never can find them.
Yeah.
And I missed a couple. There's one with Hot Mama when he was holding her and she's having her deja vu moment. There's another ghost in the background. And
is he in a wheelchair?
No, that'd be sweet though. And then when Luke is running to the other room to check to check the tuba, whatever you're going to call it. There's just this big tall dude in the middle of the hallway staring at him. And I wonder who that big tall dude is.
Yeah, for real. Oh. I was going to say, are some of these ghosts I would hope would be the ones we actually get FaceTime with? Like some they throw them in the random backgrounds for. But
I would love to find out the backstory of these ghosts.
All right, so let's talk through these three buttons. We have Nelly is on the upstairs side of this. Mm-hmm. And so she is going to drop the three buttons down to Luke just so that, you know, a little child's game thing. And two of them fly right out, no problem. And the third one just does not, there's no sound, there's no nothing. Nelly comes downstairs to help kind of like investigate what's going on. And in typical, I'm sure this got a creep stroke when the third button kind of comes down a little bit later. And then we hear like this eerie voice saying, Clara.
Mm-hmm.
Clara.
Yeah. Ew, that was good. That was good.
Just got some spit in my throat.
Now there was a. I'm a vet here and I don't know this. So Paul, maybe you're the one who actually looked at the graves. Was Clara one of the ones?
Well, Clara is Miss Dudley's name.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I have a best friend named Clara, so it just clicks in my brain.
No,
Kathleen's
a
super vet.
And didn't we get a visual when Luke goes upstairs to investigate it? We got a visual of like the, doesn't he like touches?
In the tuba, you get
like a gray-eyed grandma ghost. Yeah. So that's, again, like the theme being the gray-eyed thing, like that's, hopefully that means something more than just ghost, and it means like it was like a hill ghost or like a Dudley ghost, like some compound ghost or something. I don't know.
It makes sense that they're calling for Clara. Like if a ghost were to be calling for Clara, because the Dudleys have always been on the property, you know, like the Dudley, no matter, Clara could have been.
True, it could be her grandmother, her mother, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And we know that that's the sick room.
Yes.
From last episode, or was that the scene you brought up?
Yeah, it was from last. You're right. That's the same bed, Theo, because it's the same tuba thing.
Yeah.
Tuba.
Dude, these kids, they were like, oh, it's stuck. Why don't we get rocks and put them in? I was like, you children. Silly children.
Luke's like, there's some pretty rocks outside. Yeah. I'm like, this sweet boy ends up being the Luke in the rehab. That's so sad.
So we just find out that Joey ran away at night and they're on the circle and everybody's like looking at Luke because they all know that they were really close. And Paige is saying like, you know, this is why we don't have relationships in here, because like you don't want to lean on someone too much because then you project your problems onto them.
Yeah. Screw Paige, man. She was just coming at Luke. Like, I don't know the history here, but like, my God, she was just hammered into him. Like,
I don't know. I think you have to be in. And anyone who is in Paige is her name.
Paige.
Anyone who is in Paige's position is an addict herself. And they say that later. Like when she's talking about addicts, she says we, and she knows. So I think this is like the tough love you need. And of course, later when she won't let him come back, you're like, fuck you. But it's just how it is. I mean, you gotta imagine people are fleeing these places constantly. And it's like, if you don't want to get clean, if you're not going to stick to the program, whatever. But yeah, don't lean on an addict. And then we see Luke gets a piece of paper from Joey that says, don't follow me. So, of course, he follows.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
I mean, especially since he brings it up later in the episode. He was like, my sister told me to go. She's the one that told me to follow you.
So this is where Luke calls Nelly. That's so cute. He's like, I just want to check in. Like, he's like, I had one of those things, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he doesn't say twin thing, but he's like, I sound stupid saying it, but I felt it.
And another twin thing that we missed was when they were upstairs with the intercom system, Nelly says, I'm scared. And he says, how do you know? Or you're scared. And he says, how do you know? And she says, because I'm scared.
Yeah.
Another twin thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when Luke is on the phone, the payphone, this is actually when we see the man in the hat for the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's in the background.
Yeah.
And boy. I was like, okay, I've seen that hat before. Yeah. Literally just got that hat. So this is going to be...
Because that fades right into our flashback, which is probably the scariest scene of the entire episode, which is the ghost.
Right.
Creep point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's so funny because this ghost is such a goofy ghost. He's like 9 feet tall, and he's just like floating. When you see the shadow of him taking the hat and putting it on his head, it's like this guy.
Oh, for sure. If I could be haunted, if I had to be haunted by one of them, it would be this one.
The gentleman. Yeah.
The gentleman.
I'd rather have him than the bent neck lady.
1,000%.
So yeah. The start of this scene was actually terrifying because it's Luke laying in bed. There's crickets going on, and all of a sudden the crickets all just stop and it's just silence.
Yep.
And then you hear
like a tap.
And then, well, he wakes up because the dogs are barking. Back to those mm-hmm. dogs.
Yeah, you hear them for a second, too. And so you're hearing the tapping, and Luke's having a little trouble falling back to sleep, like right as he's laying right next to Nellie. So he gets out of the bed, goes and slowly opens the door. And this is kind of weird because you never expect to explicitly see the ghost right away.
Yeah.
And he just sees this, I don't know, 7 foot tall, huge kind of floating creature trying to get into every
he
door.
He is getting
right?
in. He's opened the doors and looking.
He's looking for his hat, which we don't know until a second later. But, you know, he's going back and forth. So Luke sees he's doing this. He like shuts the door. And then, I don't know, I personally would have played sleep asleep instead of going under the bed.
Like, I would have been either one, woke up Nellie and be like, we're in, we're both in. If I had to do it, you have to do it.
But I was thinking that
instead,
too.
Instead, he just leaves her to be like haunted and dies under the bed. Like, I was like, either one of these are bad for Nellie.
Not save your twin.
Yeah,
bro.
Exactly.
I felt the same way. I was like, if she's awake, then you could be scared together.
Oh, yeah. You want to be scared together always.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need to commiserate.
I don't even know what I would do. I mean, that floating man, he has a cane for God knows what reason, because he doesn't walk, he floats. He's also a million feet tall. And the shadow of him leaning down, picking up the hat, while you see like his floating feet, I was like,
he checks out Nellie, doesn't see his hat, goes over to Luke's bed, sees his hat, gets it, puts it on, and is about to leave. And Luke, like, what? Like, breathes loud?
Yeah, what was
he was holding his breath.
Yeah. Just
grow up, bro. You were so close to being out of there.
Expand those little baby lungs, Luke.
Jeez.
So he looks under the bed.
See his face clearly.
Yeah.
Horrifying.
Now, he doesn't do anything to him.
No.
I mean, that cuts out right after that. He just starts screaming.
So he could have
out.
Done something.
Yeah.
I mean,
but he didn't kill him.
I mean,
he didn't kill him. No.
But like, can you imagine like you're just sleeping at night and this guy has been checking on you? Like, he's literally opening all their doors. Like, he goes into Cheryl or Theo's room next, and like before Luke's room, and Luke watches him go in. Like, you're sleeping and there's this dude staring at you.
Well, it just goes back to Luke's whole thing. No one believes him. So if he goes and tells someone there's a man in my room, fucking Daddy Crane Hugh will just be like, big boys don't think that. Big boys know what's
seriously.
Real and what's
fake. Oh, yeah? Then where's my goddamn hat?
Yeah.
Someone took it.
Like, you must have just lost it.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
Abigail has it, pussy.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, so then we flash back to them as adults. Luke finds Joey. He's searching at their spots, at her spots, quote unquote. And my comment is just, Luke is so great.
So like, sweet.
It's never so explicit. Sweet. Is it all? Is it heroin that they're both into?
Yes. And you do see it later that it is heroin.
Okay. Because, they never say anything about it.
Yeah.
Good old Luke spent literally all day sitting in the same spot, just waiting for her to come by and buy. Finally sees her, walks up to her. And I can't remember. Is she like mad at him or is she just like
no
yeah she right away is just like
she's losing it she used to because when he calls Paige he says I need a place for her to come down. He's like, I didn't use, I need a place for her to come down, because of course, damn, 9 months and she used it right off the bat.
Yeah, geez.
And I don't know like why she did that. Do you think she did that because Luke was like giving her all this credit?
I mean, they say later that when she left, Paige says it, that he was, she's like, I'm not saying it's what you're doing, but you can't, people lean on other people and it puts too much pressure on them. Like, you can tell that when they're having their talk before lights out, Luke is saying, oh, you're doing so great. And it's because you're giving me inspiration. And then she's kind of having a look like, I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was asking her. She was like, are you all right? Like, she was like zoning out on her cig and stuff like that.
Well, that's another reason why you kind of, you don't know it's heroin, but there's a part where Luke's saying, like, every time I get to step four, I start breaking out in track marks, is what he says.
Yeah.
Like, just as like a little nod to, like, a little heroin joke. Yeah. For those.
A little Thai music for you.
So they both get basically banned from rehab for breaking the rules by leaving. And also at this scene is where the neck comment comes, where he's like kind of like checking out his neck.
Shivering. He's like, freezing.
He says, I slept on it funny last night. So this is the morning after Nell's suicide.
Right.
Yeah. So he's getting the remnants of that, meaning she's dead. So he's feeling her being dead, which is just encompassing his whole personality. That's why he's just deteriorating, because like half of him is dead. Like half his feelings are dead.
Isn't that the, when I was watching for the first time, I was like, why is he so, but then you start realizing, you're like, holy fuck, Nelly's dead. The twin his neck hurts. He's freezing. It's because she's a fucking corpse.
He says his like legs are stiff. Like he can't.
My muscle aches. And
it took me until then, like 30 seconds before the episode is over, I finally realized it. I'm like, oh God, I'm so slow.
He's like, I feel like I'm in withdrawal, but I haven't used.
Yeah.
To go back, just good guy Luke again. After they get banned, they're talking on the bench. Luke's talking to Joey. He's saying, all right, like, we'll get some money. We'll get a hotel. He's like, do you have any left over? She has $10. And he's like, oh, that'll get us half the way. Like, good guy Luke. Yeah. Like, he's being so positive.
Because that leads, after the neck funny scene, we do get the other perspective of the end of episode one with Steven.
Yep.
When he's breaking into the apartment. And I was kind of curious, Paul, do you think, is Nell's ghost just supposed to be in that apartment, like, while he's just chilling there? Or is that connected to Steven? I don't really know. Because, like, he was, like, in the apartment right where she is 5 minutes later.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess
I kind of half expected him to, like, her be in the background when he walked out. But
how do you half expect?
Just
from Family Guy. Come on! How do you turn a phrase? Damn it.
I don't remember that one. Sorry.
Yeah, but we get Father Mucker again, which I laugh at every time.
Just to jump back a little bit, when Luke is walking with Joey, we do see the man in the hat constantly in the background a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
We also, this is where we get...
Always back to us.
Yeah, which is horrifying because of the end. This is when they get the conversation. He's saying, my sister told me to go to you. Basically telling Joey that it's a twin thing. This is when they talk about he broke his ankle and she called him 10 minutes later, which is crazy. Hey, dear, are you okay? My ankle's killing me.
Yeah, that is cool because it does. That's the first like real sign that Nelly is. I mean, I guess we got a little bit of it as a kid, but that's the sign that Nelly is the same way.
Mm. And then this is when Luke shows up at Lee's and Lee, he's like, wait, what do you guys mean you split up?
It's, I can't even imagine poor Lee and you get, I mean, not poor Lee, because of course we don't know what happened, but if I have an ex, obviously Steve wants to come home. So obviously he's the one who fucked up when he calls Lee in the last episodes and says like, I want to come home. She's like, you know what you have to say, whatever it is. Poor Lee has to be the one to tell every single one of his family members that they broke up. It's like, oh, of course he didn't fucking tell you. I'm like, as the girl, I'm like, of course, men are trash.
It had only been a month since they separated at this point when Luke's at the door. Mm-hmm. And also...
No.
Yeah, it's
They separated a month ago.
Because 2 months prior is when Luke was there visiting.
Yeah, that goes straight into the flashback.
I'm thinking of that. Like, I was thinking of, okay, he's 1 month clean is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But he's so 3 months clean at this point. It kind of.
This is where we get Babe.
Joey.
Babe Joey.
This point, she is 7 months clean.
And fucking Steve's just being an asshole. Man.
So
such an asshole.
Yeah. Oh, is this your first time in rehab?
Like, he's just been burned so many times, and Steve is just genuinely an asshole that I think he's just...
It's his day pass. He's taking with Joey. He's meeting Lee and Steve, who are clearly happy enough, I guess, because they're still together at this point. And Joey's just like, you know, feel good story. She's saying all these things. She's kind of a little intimidating. They hint at it a little later.
Intimidating?
I was saying intimidating, like she's so confident, because that's what they say, right? Like she was like super confident. She's just like a yes man kind of at this point. Like she's just selling herself.
I took it as Steve saying she's slick. Like she's, I wouldn't say
like he thought she was like full of shit, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's saying she's an addict too, she's working you. Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
Working and playing you. Give me that. With pleasure, baby. We also get a weird, awkward moment when Joey says, like, look at you, you're doing great. I guess the next step is like to fill this place with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee and Steve look at each other and then they look down. So, I mean, that's got to be like
something to why they broke up. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Good job.
Also, yeah. Joey starts praising Luke's writing skills, and then they kind of start talking a little bit about the short stories. I think Abigail gets a name drop here as well, because Abigail was both in, obviously, Luke's short stories, and then I think Steve says, like, she made an appearance in my book, too.
Yeah.
I like that Steve's the one who name drops her, because Joey just says, oh, the little girl at the edge of the woods or whatever, and he goes, Abigail.
Yeah, we've heard all about that bitch.
Fuck you, Steve. Literally fuck you.
Yeah, you want to talk about condescending? The dad was condescending. Yeah. Steve is really condescending.
Yeah, he's right like, here. So at the end, he's kind of talking to Steve being like, I bring one person home and you can't even be happy. Like, this is my 30-day chip. I wanted to celebrate it. Like, she's a good person. And he goes, yeah, well, you're a good person, Luke, and I love you, but
kind of
here
me.
We are. Yeah. Like, you're a good person. But you're a piece of shit, too. Like, you've done bad things.
So I guess the only two people that we know of as of right now that have seen Abigail are Luke and the dad, Hugh. Because we see Abigail in the touch when Theo touched her. And then Steve doesn't believe Luke. Steve's seen the pictures. He knows about Abigail even when he was young. But the way he's talking about her in this scene, no one else has seen her.
Yeah. Steve sucks. I'm finding out.
Big suck.
And then Joey's saying to him, like, are you cold? And then, like, the whole theme of him, like, being freezing. And I'm an idiot for not picking it up. It's because Nell's dead. And then, like, we kind of get Joey's real piece of shit coming out. Because then she's walking with him. First of all, she's just litters. She was eating that bag or whatever. And she just tosses it after she's done.
Unforgivable.
And then they have a sweet moment where she was like, oh, I'm going to go into the little junkie's room real quick. Luke, being the good guy that he is trying to help her. And she pulls a move, kisses him real quick. And while she's doing that, pulls out the $200 that Steve gave him.
And didn't you think it was weird that when he's shivering, she calls him baby?
Yeah. Yes, I wrote that. I was like, this, like, you guys are not a couple. And right. You said baby.
That's just her manipulating again.
Yeah.
When she had used at that point, so she's turned.
Yeah.
Dark side. She's running around, like, all frantic. He couldn't feel worse for him. Because, like, he's doing good, but he looks like he's at rock bottom. And, like, Steve thought he was at rock bottom. He's literally looking for Joey, going underneath bridges at a barrel fire. He gets mugged by a bunch of these homeless people, take his shoes and his jacket, and it's like, oh my god, man.
All right, so this is a big moment. Mm-hmm. The top hat guy turns into
Hot Mama. Now, again, isn't it also weird that, like, when the tall guy is coming towards him, he's still walking backwards?
Yeah.
Well, he's floating, isn't he?
Yeah.
No, he's walking, right?
Is he?
No,
I thought it's floating. Like, they just start coming.
But his feet are on the ground whenever he sees him in the flat, like in his flashes.
He's floating. His head doesn't move at all.
Yeah, but
he might just be, like, elegant. Like, he just,
Luke's doing the counting thing. He's counting to seven. Like,
dude, what if he was moonwalking? He's like,
wait, so what do you guys think? What do you guys think about
it
this?
Being the mother?
Because isn't what the mother turns around and says is come home?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, what do her eyes look like to you?
Headlights. And
oh, they turn into the headlights.
They start out white. They start out white.
Gray.
And then they get gray. And then they go to the light.
Yeah. I think this is going to be the same thing that happened to Nelly. Like, he's going to get haunted until he's physically just surrounded by things, forcing him back to the house. And it's going to go up the line of youngest to oldest, because that's how I just have to guess it off of Nelly being first.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother.
So we got a little bit of info. We actually might have already had this. So Luke is when he's giving his 90-day clean speech. When he's talking about whatever happens, we got sent to live with my aunt, which, did we know they lived with their aunt before?
I don't think so.
Nope.
Steve
says, do we really have to live with aunt, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, during
the lawyer's
scene with the
office
lawyer.
when they're on the car ride home. Okay. But I wrote here confirmation that they do go to the aunt.
Right.
So he was telling them all about that, and then how he was so excited waiting for the headlights to come around the curb, because every time that he did, he was hoping that it would be his mom coming home to get him. So at the end, when, you know, tall man turns around and her eyes kind of light up to headlights, I was like, is that on purpose? I know, like, the Paige's headlights are coming around, but it was like the hope of like, hey, mom's coming home to get you. I don't know.
I like that.
I thought
that was an incredible speech. Yeah. I loved it. It was really emotional. He's the best he's been since we've seen him at that 90-day point.
Smiling the whole time, which was awesome. You love to see Luke smiling.
Yeah.
Smile, Luke.
So here goes. It's taken me 10 years to get 90 days clean. And I'm starting step 4, which is always the one that does me in. Fearless moral inventory. Now, I've been called a lot of things in my life, but fearless is not one of them. You know, I was always a scared little kid, and I thought I'd get braver as I got older, but I didn't. I just got scared of anything.
So yeah, just like Luke says, he's doing that. We get a flashback of him showing Nell how to become kind of fearless or less scared. And he puts the 7 army guys, or for her sake, 7 buttons. And he makes her count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, which is so cute. But so this is, we get it earlier in the episode of him counting down, but we don't know what it is yet. And then he ends up doing the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, which is just really dark to me. I'm like, he's now what, 30, and he's still counting to 7 because he's so scared and freaked out.
And he explains, like we already said, it's for each member of the family. And he says sometimes you have to do it a lot.
Yeah, that was cute.
Yeah,
when he's old and he's doing this, he's on the curb walking back and forth pacing, the 90-day speech is still going on in the background. And every time he's pacing, he's turning around and the tall man is there. He's like looking away behind him. So he'll walk a little bit, pace, turn around, he's there. And it was cool because they lined up the 90-day speech of he's talking about like how his addiction, step 4 is the hardest, how it always sneaks back up on him. And right when they said that, the tall man was sneaking back up on him, like turning around. And I was getting creeped the hell out. And it also reminded me a little bit, like the second scene we get of this entire episode, when we first see Luke in rehab, we get this blind vet talking about what happened. I mean, that story is horrifying. But at the end, he has a quote and it says, like, I leaned on my habit to make me forget, but it made sure I'd never forget.
Right.
And like, that's kind of cool because it's lining up with like everything that's happened. They're trying to forget, like Luke's doing all these drugs to try and forget, but those drugs are making everything worse.
Yeah.
Just, it's like Klaus from the Umbrella Academy. Yeah. It's exactly like that. He's just trying to dull his senses because he can feel so much.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, so after the car pulls up, after Hot Mama says, come home, my love, the car lights turn to Paige and Steve rolling up to him, and Steve gets out of the car and tells him about Nell. And Luke, I don't have the specific quote here. I don't know if any of you guys do, but Luke says he knows that Nellie's death was not a suicide.
So he's saying, I'm so sorry I couldn't help her. And he's talking about Joey at first, you know, and he's all upset. He's crying. And then he's saying, I'm so cold. My arms and legs are stiff, just like withdrawal, but I didn't use. You believe me, right? Like always. And then Steve says, like you just said, Luke, that Nell is dead. And then he rubs his neck and he says, no, it wasn't suicide.
He goes, how?
Yeah, how? There you go.
Steve goes, suicide. And he goes, no.
I had so many chills at that part.
Yep, me too.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, Luke is just like on the up and up. Like he literally is on rock bottom.
Yeah.
But for like me, I love like his character. In the beginning of his 90-day speech, he was talking about saying like, oh, one thing I'd never really call myself is fearless.
Right.
And like that kind of tied in perfectly to finally when the tall man floats backwards and they're back to back. Like he finally does get up the courage to turn around and look him in the face. And that's when it's like kind of like his mom. It's like a good thing. It's like, come home.
Right.
So.
All right, fellas. So what are you thinking for the next episode? Next episode's coming.
I think it's going to be the most creep points by far.
I think 5 is going to be, it's going to give us the most hints into what the final twist of the season is going to show. So there's going to be a lot to talk about for our next podcast. And I'm just really excited for a Nelly-centric episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we've had so many questions and we're getting a lot of questions answered, but we're also getting a lot more questions thrown at us. So I'm feeling Nelly, the last, you know, kid, one of the last of the Canes. We're going to figure out
Crane. What
Crane. Sorry.
Yeah.
This is first time watching. Sorry.
That's all good.
And like, really, I feel like once it goes through all the kids, like we're going to get a real good idea of what happened.
Yeah.
Like, that night.
Do we run it back in five more episodes of each another?
I don't know. I was thinking, is it going to go to the dad? Like, is it going to go to the mom at one point? Well, the mom's a ghost.
I didn't want to look at the episode titles to ruin anything, so I just didn't.
Like, I mean, I have no idea where it's going.
All right, Case Bang, take us through. Thank you, Mary.
Let's do it. So we're going to do the remaining chicks, because last week we did Nelly, Theo, and Hot Mama. So this week we're going to do the B team.
Oh, Kathleen.
Shirley, Lee, and Joey. And I can start.
Okay.
Okay. I'm killing Shirley. I'm so sorry, Cheryl.
Yeah.
No regrets, though. But I am going to marry Lee because she is fine.
She's fine.
She's fine, although she did kill McDreamy for all my Grey's Anatomy people out there. And then I'm going to bang Joey. And the only reason I'm not marrying Joey is because of her background.
Yeah.
Or I would have married Joey. But Lee seems like we'd have a good life together. So I'll marry her.
As long as you want kids. Apparently, Lee wants kids.
I do. I want them.
Or don't.
We can have them at the same time. Me and her both.
All right. Who's next?
I mean, I don't talk about B team. You're totally right. I mean, I want to. I got to say, I'm going to bang Joey because I don't want to marry her because she's going to steal all my money. And then, I don't know. I feel like Cheryl is just like a handful. So I think I'm going to kill her. And
girls
then,
suck.
Girls are the worst.
We should have did the guys.
Mary Lou.
We'll get to the guys.
I'll bang Luke, tell you right now.
Jay Spang, you want to go?
Yeah, I think we're all going to have pretty much the same answers here.
I have the same answer, too.
Yeah. I just agree that I think Cheryl is a little too much, a little bit of a biatch. So I'm going to have to kill her. I'm going to marry Lee because, I mean, like you guys have said, as far as we know, she's just a nice person. She's still being nice to Luke after all this stuff that she's been through. And Steven's an ex, I guess, you know, maybe not eventually, but for now they're separated. And I'm going to bang Joey because hot babe alert.
Yeah, I don't have anything extra to add. Unfortunately, I love to be different on these ones, but I'm not killing Cheryl. She's dying. So, and then Joey, you can't marry a drug addict.
I'll There's no way that I'm going to bang or marry a chick that is working at a morgue,
yep,
dressing bodies and shit.
Sure was off the table. Yeah.
Can't do it.
And there you have it. Next episode, we'll be covering episodes 5 and 6 of The Haunting of Hill House, leading into the premiere of Haunting of Bly Manor, which drops October 9th on Netflix. If you like what you heard, give us a follow on Spotify and the Apple Podcasts app. We also have episodes covering Spartacus, The 100, Netflix series Curse, and Amazon Prime's The Boys. Thanks for listening and stay spooky.